Amen. Go ahead and please be seated. Wow, that was quite the video. I've seen it before, but still, tears come to my eyes. Being able to see what that incredible story as to what that father was willing to do for his son, and just how his father, from the moment they heard that something was wrong, still believed that his son was able to do great things. Then I think of our Father in heaven. You know, does believe in each and every one of us. And he does believe that we can accomplish great things in our lives. You know, God wants us to be content with what we have in life, but not satisfied with where we're at spiritually. Because God believes that each and every one of us can accomplish great things for him. And so today we're going to talk about the Father's plan to transform his children. And of course, talking about God's plan for us as disciples, how he works to transform each and every one of us. But before I do that, I'd like to read a story. Four men were in the hospital waiting room because their wives were having babies. A nurse goes up to the first guy and says, "Congratulations! You're the father of twins." "That's odd," answered the man. "I work for the Minnesota Twins." A nurse says to the second guy, "Congratulations. You're now the proud father of triplets." He says, "That's weird. I work for the 3M company." A nurse tells the third man, "Congratulations, you're the father of quadruplets." And he says, "That's strange. I work for the Four Seasons Hotel." The last man is walking down the hall, pacing back and forth, groaning, banging his head against the wall, screaming, "No, no, no." They asked him, "What's wrong?" "I work for 7-Up. Oh, that guy, well, of course, he works 7-Up. He's got some things in store for him. Let's just say. So, all the best to him. And again, as we talk about God's plan to transform his children, you know, God desires for each and one of us spiritual development. God desires spiritual development for each and every one of us. The same way a father or a mother has great plans that they want to see accomplished with their children, is the same way that God wants to see great things accomplished through each and every one of us. We all have areas in our character that need changing. We all have areas in our character that need developing. Because our characters have been shaped by our parents growing up, what kind of parents they were has influenced you to one degree or another. You know, also friends can have an influence on us. You know, the Bible even talks about how bad company corrupts good character, and how important it is for us to make sure we have and surround ourselves with the right people. Relationships can shape us. Social influences shape us. There are many different things that have shaped us to who we are here today. Life experiences have shaped us. And so much more. But again, God wants to shape us and to shape us into the likeness of his Son. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you turn there with me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 18, it says, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Romans chapter 8. In verse 28. Now this passage teaches that we're being transformed into His likeness. And in Romans chapter 8, in verse 28, it says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, and that He might be the firstborn among many brothers." You know, what is God's goal for each and every one of us? God wants to transform us into the likeness of His Son. God has great plans for every one of us, but God knows that in order for us to have great marriages, to have great families, to have an incredible influence on co-workers, neighbors, and in this world, we must be shaped into the likeness of His Son. And so God strives to accomplish that goal in creating Christ-likeness in us. You know, there's a story of a woman who strived to be like Christ through her whole life. And it says that a busy politician was called out of an important meeting to the bedside of an extremely wealthy widow who was well known for her devoted Christian faith. The politician arrived at the hospital and was ushered into the bedroom of the widow and asked, "What can I do for you, Mrs. Warbucks? Just come and stand by my bedside," she said while lying in bed. The politician did as he was told. A few minutes later, another politician came into the bedroom, and she instructed him to stand on the other side of her bed. After 15 to 20 minutes of standing virtually motionless, with no further indication of what either man had been called in to do, the first politician spoke up. "Miss Warbucks, I don't want to neglect you at this time like this, but I've left an important meeting to come here, and I really should be getting back." Pointing at the other politician, he continued, "I'm sure he has a busy schedule too. Is there anything you need either of us to do before we go? We'll be glad to take care of any concerns you might have." Miss Warbucks said, "No, I'm dying. I've lived my Christian faith, and I don't need anything else. What I want you to do for me now is to stand where you are until I'm gone. Because I've always strived to be like Jesus, and I wanted to die like Jesus. Between two thieves." That's amazing how everyone strives to be like Jesus in one way or another. But of course, God wants us to strive to be like Jesus. How far you decide to take it, it's up to you. But of course, God wants for each and one of us to live our lives as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ and to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. Unfortunately, as we grow older, this attitude can very easily elude us. Because we can grow older, but not grow spiritually. Because it's very easy to become set in our ways, where at times our hearts can become less receptive, less open to change, and we can plateau and find ourselves in a spiritual rut. And how important it is for us to make sure that we always guard our hearts against complacency, because it's very easy in life to compare ourselves to someone else, to look at what someone else is doing or not doing, to justify different things in our own lives. I know I've used others at times as an excuse for doing less and not growing. But it's God's plan for me, it's God's plan for you, to be the best disciple that you can be. To be the absolute best disciple that you can be in imitating Jesus. But for transformation to occur, God has provided us with several ways to do this. Because we cannot grow and change and become like Christ on our own. You read through the scriptures, God has given us His Holy Spirit as disciples. We're able to pray to our Father in heaven for strength. But I want to take a look at a few areas that God also uses to help form us into the likeness of Christ. Number one is the Word of God. The Word of God. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, you can write it down. I want to read a different translation from the Message. It says, "Now I'm turning you over to God, our marvelous God, whose gracious Word can make you into what He wants you to be and give you everything you could possibly need in this community of holy friends." It says, God, whose gracious Word can make you into what He wants you to be and give you everything you could possibly need in this community of holy friends. You know, you can read in terms of 2 Timothy on your own, chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, Hebrews 4, verses 12 to 13. These passages teach us the importance of the Word of God in our lives. It talks about how it teaches us, corrects us, it rebukes us, it shakes us. In Hebrews 4, it says that the Word of God, it cuts us to the heart. It cuts us to the heart to get sin out of our hearts, to transform us into the likeness of Christ. And in James chapter 1, in James chapter 1, in verse 21, it says, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the Word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says, like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he'll be blessed in what he does." You know, God's Word, it challenges us. It cuts us to the heart. But also, God's Word speaks the truth to us and reveals our true self. That's why whenever you read the Scriptures, and you read the Scriptures are taught, you know, the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God to convict our hearts. Because the Word of God exposes the truth about who we really are. Who we really are on the inside. Not only on the outside, but who we really are on the inside. It's like a mirror that reveals who we are. You know, we look into the mirror. I'm sure if I were to ask this group, how many of us looked into the mirror this morning? You know, the question is not so much if we looked into the mirror. The question is how long we looked into the mirror. How many times we looked into the mirror? You know, for some, if they see a mirror, they just cannot help but resist to look into the mirror. You know, it's amazing. But we look into the mirror, we don't see something, we do something to change it. You know, weeks ago, I was looking at it in the mirror, and there's this front tooth that, I got hit a while back, and it was a dead tooth. And I look into the mirror, and it really started to bother me. So I decided to, you know what, it's about time, I need to go get that fixed. So I went to the dentist a couple weeks ago, and decided to get a crown. The other option was, I was thinking, I'm going to get 4 gold teeth right across my mouth. But you know, that probably won't look good. So I thought, you know, let me get a crown. So they prop me up in the chair and they're doing all kinds of stuff to me. They're like drilling, they're drilling the tooth and drilling it. And so I'm staring at the ceiling. They're drilling, kept drilling, and then finally they brought a mirror to me to say, you know what, we want you to see how this looks. After they've drilled my tooth, they've pretty much taken it out, and now there's this thing in my mouth that looks like the size of a toothpick. And so they show it to me, and they're like, here, this is what it looks like. And I was like, okay, I don't need to see it anymore. Now let's get to work on the crown. So of course they put on the crown, and so now, it's amazing how when they put the temporary crown on, they're telling me that, you know, just be careful, because sometimes they could fall out. And I'm saying, I saw what was in the mirror. I don't want this tooth to fall out. And so whatever, all kinds of soft food I was eating, because I was like, you know, I'm going to a men's retreat in the next week. I cannot go to a men's retreat having this with no tooth and having this little toothpick hanging there. But it was amazing how when they showed it to me, I was like, you know what? I'm going to change it. I'm going to fix it and do what I can to make sure it changes. You know, just in life, you know, the Bible says some pretty strong things to us. The Bible reveals some pretty strong things to us. But it's up to us. We can ignore it or we can do something about it. But to grow and become in Christ's life, we need to respond to the Word of God and immediately act on what is revealed in our lives. You know, His Word is not just a set of doctrinal guidelines. It's not just a set of doctrinal guidelines. You read through the Scripture, it generates life into our bodies. It creates faith. It produces change. It heals wounds. It encourages. It builds up. It helps us to defeat temptation. It infuses hope into our lives when we're discouraged. It cleanses our mind of what is unholy. And it spiritually nourishes our body. You know, the Word of God transforms us. And God has given us His Word so that we can be transformed by His Word into the likeness of Christ. You know, how much are we studying God's Word? Are we really digging into God's Word to see the truth about who we really are? Because you know what happens? You know, we are changed at times more by our culture. Because we say, well, everybody's doing it, so why shouldn't I do it? Or we're led by our feelings. Well, if it feels right, I should do it. But God wants us to allow His Word to take root in our hearts, where we have it as the final authority in our life, and we allow it to transform our character into the likeness of Christ. You know, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, you know, it's a parable of the sower. And it demonstrates how the receptiveness determines whether or not God's Word takes root in our lives and what kind of fruit it'll bear in our lives. In Luke 8 and verse 18, when it talks about the parable of the sower, it said, but the seed on good soil stands for those who, with a noble heart, noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. You know, our receptiveness to God's word, our heart towards God's Word, how serious we take God's Word, will determine how much we will be transformed into the likeness of Christ. You know, God uses His Word to transform us. You know, number two, God uses life circumstances to transform us. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, You know, God uses life circumstances to transform us. You know, there are things that happen in life that we can't explain why they happen. We just cannot explain why. We can guess maybe why things happen, but we don't know why many different things happen because we're not God. And we don't know the mind of God. All we can do is do our best to try to understand it as it relates to our situation. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and you can read verses 3 to 7 on your own. In verse 8 it says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far above, beyond our ability to endure, so we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us." You know, God allows certain things to happen in the lives of these disciples, and they understood it as this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, so that we can rely on God. You know, when we go through difficult times, hardships, so many times we can focus on why they're happening, as opposed to what does God want from me in all of this? You know, what do hardships teach you? You know, we can respond in many ways in hardship. We can run, or we can depend on God, depend on others. But hardship needs to teach us something, teach us something about ourselves, and to teach us something about God. When you read about the earlier passage, it talks about, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comforts." The God of all comforts. You know, the way we really truly understand the God of all comforts is when we're going through trials. It's when we're going through suffering. Because in order for God to comfort us, there's got to be some need for our comfort. And therefore, God will want us at times to learn something about Him, to learn something about His character, so that we can go to Him and be comforted by Him in a way that no one else could comfort us. So that as God comforts us, we can then go and comfort others. You know, God uses life circumstances. He uses hardship. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 7, says, "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirit and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as though best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful." Amen to that. "Later on, however, it produces our harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." You know, hardship needs to teach us something. You know, it says that when we go through hardship, to endure hardship as you would discipline. You know, all of us growing up, to one degree or another, would have been disciplined in one way or another by our parents. depending on your culture, that may look very different. And if you're a teen or a child here today, I'm sure you've been disciplined by your parents. But it talks about here, all of us had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. Did we? You know, when that discipline happened, you know, we may have looked back and thought, you know what? I saw what they were trying to do. You know, I really respect them for it. Maybe that's just me. But no discipline seems pleasant at the time. Again, depending on your culture, depending on your upbringing. Again, but no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You know, when we face hardship, God wants us to learn about Him. God wants us to learn about ourselves. And God wants us to be trained by it so that we can, in our lives, produce a harvest of righteousness. That's what God wants to produce in our lives. He wants to produce a harvest of righteousness. But at times we need to go through hardship in order to produce a harvest of righteousness. But it is God's plan to work through hardship so that we can be able to grow in our Christ-likeness. You know, I remember someone said, every time we go through difficulties, God and Satan are both present. God and Satan are both present, that if God gives it, Satan seeks to distort it. And you read through the scriptures, when people went through times of difficulty, Satan hoped to drive a wedge between them and God. But God wants us to use suffering and hardship for us to grow and mature. Satan wants to use it to tear us down, to weaken us, and to destroy our faith. You know, if you think about becoming like Jesus, think about what Jesus had to go through. But to make us like Christ, we will have to go through similar experiences as Christ. Because we might want to become Christ, like Christ, kind of automatic. But God doesn't work that way. Sometimes we need to be taken through some of the same experiences of Christ, where Christ experienced loneliness, rejection, criticism, abandonment, and the list goes on. And sometimes God wants to take us through that to help us to become more and more like Christ. You know, are we growing in our Christ-likeness? And if we are going through something in our lives, you know, what are we learning about God? What are we learning about ourselves? And I do believe that as we focus on God and we look deep into our own lives, I believe God can use that situation. Because God can use a very difficult situation to bring about good in our lives. Sometimes it seems very difficult when the trial is happening. But God can take something very difficult and use it for noble purposes in our own lives. You know, God uses His Word, He uses hardship, He also uses one another relationships as we begin to wrap up. In Hebrews chapter 3, we know this passage, we've read it. But in Hebrews chapter 3, you know, the Bible says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know, it's always been a part of God's plan. Always been a part of God's plan from the book of Genesis through Revelation. To always have people that we can rely on, we can receive encouragement by, that we can use as a resource to help us in our spiritual development. You know, you think about in your life, in your journey, think about people who have influenced your life influenced your faith, who have helped you in your marriage, who have helped you with your parenting, who have helped you in building a certain aspect of your character. God wants us to continue to have these kinds of relationships in our lives so that we can be transformed into His likeness. Because we will not become like Christ as a solo Christian. We will not become like Christ being the Lone Ranger. Not even the Lone Ranger could be Lone Ranger without Tonto. But God has always planned. Some of you are going, who's the Lone Ranger? Maybe there'll be a remake, a movie of the Lone Ranger sometime. But we all need people to help us to become more and more like Christ. Because it is God's plan to transform us. As His children, He wants us to be like Christ. He wants us to imitate the footsteps of Christ so that we can be able to grow in knowing more about Him, so that we can grow in knowing more about ourselves, so that we can have a great influence over our families, over friends, over those of our workplace, our classmates. But it takes allowing God to transform us into the likeness of Christ. You know, He has great plans for us to grow up and to be the men and women of God that He believes that we can be. And He'll use His Word, His Holy Spirit, circumstances, hardship, people, biblical examples to inspire us and to call us higher in becoming more like Christ. You know, today as we conclude our message, you know, let's embrace God's plan with all of our hearts and allow our Father in heaven to shape us and to develop our character into the sons and daughters He wants us to be. Amen.